change the culture, the mindset, the expectation level, and improve the brand of Indiana Hoosier football.
Start spreading the news.
The Yankees lose.
And Sparty loses the spittoon.
This is an Indiana football podcast after all, but I kind of wanted
a solo there. You know?
Really? I thought we were hitting a duet. I thought that's what that's literally what we talked about.
I don't remember.
I mean, we did this together as the biggest Dodger podcast in the world. We literally did this together.
We're not the number one Dodger podcast in the world. I don't know. I don't listen to Dodger podcasts. I just watch the game. But yeah, Dodgers win their 8th world championship, 2 in the last 5 years. I missed the Michigan State preview. We canceled it, basically. Keezer did a solo. I'm sure you guys listened to it. It was great. Yeah, I was in the air. I went back home to sunny Los Angeles for the parade on Friday.
It was
absolutely electric.
There was a lack of communication. Not that going to a parade is a bad excuse for missing a podcast, but I texted you and I was like, hey man, like Rourke's playing, like that's huge. What time are we recording tonight? And you're like, about that.
I was like, what do you mean about that? Yeah.
And I was like, oh yeah.
That, like, being out there and I have no time to record or anything, so I just figured, you know, we can let it go on, drop the recap, which was already delayed, and we could do a little preview. I didn't get to do the history lesson on Michigan State, and I have to think that that's why they got off to the hot start. Didn't give them the respect they deserved by, you know, not... Maybe it was somewhat overlooking them, but, you know, they seem to be deserving of being overlooked after that performance. They came out hot. Childs and, what's-his-face, Marsh. Marsh, that's the future of Michigan State ball right there. They looked impressive for freshmen.
Yeah, there was a white boy Rick tweet that said, like, Nick Marsh, if you're looking for an explosive offense to play in the next year.
We'll take him. I've been eyeing guys like across the Big Ten that like transfer over, because we're gonna start getting that quality of player in the portal moving forward.
Absolutely.
There's a true sophomore safety on Purdue. There's a freshman safety at Minnesota. Even though they're looking really good.
Yeah, Minnesota's kind of rolling a little bit.
Yeah, but yeah, definitely be eyeing the portal. Going into the next year. We're not overlooking this season by any means, but, you know.
No, we got plenty to get to. And this is, make no mistake about it. We say go blue, as in, like, go Dodgers, because they beat the Yankees in the World Series. And as you know, huge Dodger fans over here. But make no mistake about it. This is Michigan week. And we're not going to talk about Michigan a ton in this podcast. We are going to mention a couple things, obviously, about what's coming up in the week. This is going to be the CBS game, not to step on the smoke. But it's going to be the CBS game. CBS claimed it early. Sent out a media memo like 5 o'clock, or I don't even know if the game had ended yet before CBS had claimed the game next week. So that's gonna be awesome to see Indiana football in that CBS slot. I'm thinking of Justin Berger right now.
I've been begging for this all season. Give us the CBS time slot. There's been tons of opportunities for us to get it. Talking about the Washington game, most likely. I'm glad we're here. We're on, you know, channel 2 on your TV program. So it's going to be super exciting. National game. It's going to be great. People are going to see firsthand just how good Indiana is as they, you know, take care of business against the defending champs.
Yeah, I'm jacked up. When we're going to talk about how good Indiana looked this past weekend, even though you can argue it's probably the worst game they played all year. But we got some smoke to get to, Brad. #9Windiana, the prophecy fulfilled. Brad, we made it. Did you ever think we would get here?
Yes.
Oh, let me rephrase maybe, that. Let me maybe rephrase when that. We, like, before Kurt Cignetti was hired, did you ever think we'd get here?
No.
This is obviously a new world. Like, obviously, in Kurt
Cignetti's... Not this fast. Not this soon. Like, maybe in the 2030s, 2040s. I just didn't see it. I don't think... This is our third 9-win season. We have 0 10-win seasons. We have history in the making for next week. We've never won 10 games in a year.
Yeah, this is the first time the program has ever been 9-0, too. Like, this is history. But anything's possible in Kurt Cignetti's Indiana football. And like he gets on the podium and he's talking about being 9-0 and all that good stuff. And he said, we're not satisfied.
We're not. He was talking all those clips resurfacing of him at the Big Ten Championship last year saying that they're going to be playing in this game and everyone laughed him off or starting to resurface because it's starting to look very, very real.
Yeah, it's like, wait a second. Maybe we're the crazy ones. Yeah. Not believing him sooner.
For doubting him. Crazy.
And top 10 Indiana as well, Brad. Indiana is officially inside the top 10 in both the coaches poll at exactly number 10 and in the AP poll. They're at number 8. A little bit more respect shown this week. Although, honestly, dude, they're the best team in the country. And I didn't hesitate saying that. I truly believe that. This is the best football team in the country.
This is the best team I've seen. I don't know of any other team that's won every game by double digits this year.
And that's what I'm saying.
BYU hasn't. Maybe Army. Has Army done that?
When you look at like opponents between Indiana and specifically Ohio State, it's like I'm done with the 11-1 talk. Like I'm just tired of seeing it. Like I haven't seen one thing all year that tells me Ohio State's a better football team than Indiana, even though they spent probably $15 million more on their roster than Indiana did, at least.
Probably more than that. I just looked it up. This is our third 9-win season in program history dating back to, obviously, the 67 season with John Pont where we went to the Rose Bowl, and then we had an undefeated season in 1945 with Bo McMillan.
So we have been 9-0 before.
Well, we had a tie in that.
Oh.
9-0-1.
Interesting.
Ranked 4 in the coaches, so no national championship. Claimed. If we wanted to pull a UCF, maybe we can.
Claim the title.
Yeah.
Retroactively claim the title. Can we find some recruiting violations for the top teams there and knock some people off? Probably. I don't know if anybody.
That was like World War II, like you know, 1945. I don't think. It seems like we benefited from a lot of players, a lot of programs losing guys of the war.
Well, yeah, that's what it was like. The running joke was like Indiana football is only good when there's like a major tragedy. So like, be afraid for what's about to happen this year. But it like they were good in different ways. Like even the Penix team, like that 2020 team, the offensive line. And no offense to any of those guys. Like this offensive line is 1,000 times better than that line ever was.
100%.
Like Penix was getting killed back there.
That's the difference.
That's why he's not a. That's why he didn't go to the league as a Hoosier.
That's why he roots for the Dubs.
Yeah. It's just a different team. But the Peacock production was terrible. They were having all sorts of like technical issues on their production side. Like it was borderline unwatchable at points, and extremely disappointing. Given it was like literally the only place you could watch the game. It's just like, if you're going to exclusively put the games on the platform and push the platform, like, make the games watchable. And then, like, the copy that ended up on Big Ten Plus for the rewatch is, like, all the colors all off and the broadcast. It's just, it wasn't good. And the broadcast issues were still on that, too, in the rewatch. It was just complete disaster on all accounts. I saw a bunch of people tweeting about it. I saw Jamie Jordan said something about it. I think Peacock, like, responded to him, which I thought was wild. Fix your damn platform.
Well, I was able to watch. I was lucky enough to watch it without volume. I was at Jameson's Culver City. Shout out Jameson's. I was there for about a 10-hour shift, watching the whole entire slate. It was by the time it was like halftime at in the Indiana game. I was 2 champagne bottles deep. Not even joking. Not even joking. I got the mimosa specials. There was like $20 for each bottle. So like
It's
I was
basically
doing
free.
damage. I was doing damage early. I was getting after
That's
it,
a tax
and I
write-off. That's a business meeting.
Hey, that was
that's
a
work.
For LA, that was like a 150 bill at the end of it. I got some food on the way. Like obviously, was drinking beers.
You robbed
Like
them.
not bad, not bad. I dominated Jameson's Culver City on game day. Absolutely
They
dominated.
got your face
Tons
on
of
the door. They said, "Don't let this guy back in."
good amount of Hoosier fans there too. It was good interacting with everyone and some SoCal Hoosiers. Speaking of SoCal, you can order your own taste of SoCal, the taste of my homeland, in the form of hot sauce at SoCalHotSauce.com. Goes great on tacos, burritos, enchiladas, or any food yearning for the refreshing taste of the Southwest. I personally really like it on my breakfast skillets in the morning on Hoosier game days as I get ready for the Hoosiers to kick off. Order in single bottles, but for free shipping, order in cases or my go-to, the four-pack, where you can choose from original, red hot, original avocado, and my personal favorite, hot avocado. These are literally flying off the shelves at the moment as we are out of the original red, but still have all three other flavors available. Use promo code SIGSINSIDE, that's two words, SIGSINSIDE, to get 10% off on any order today. That's promo code SIGSINSIDE to get that SIGSINSIDE, SoCalHotSauce.com. Now back to your regularly scheduled programming. Living out there, and it's good to see, well represented. That was a good bar, tons of Washington fans, Iowa State, Northwestern, Ohio State, all well represented over in SoCal, Culver City, California.
The
Gotta
Big
love
Ten
it.
goes coast to coast, Brad. You know that as well as anybody. You also should know that Kurt Cignetti is the winningest first-year head coach in program history. That's not surprising.
Is that not Was that not already a thing like 4 weeks ago?
No, I think somebody had to be like 8-0 or something because he just got it.
No, that's just not true. That's
I don't
just
know,
not
dude.
true.
I mean,
There's just
Indiana
no way.
football posted the. Don't make me go to Twitter and find the graphic they posted, because I will.
The most wins as another coach has gotten in his first year. Was okay, so James Sheldon in 1905 went 8-1-1 in his first year. 1905. Back when the Big Ten was called the Western Conference. Fun fact for all
Indiana
you.
football. Winningest first-year head coach in program history, Kurt Cignetti.
Yeah, in terms of amount of wins. Yeah.
Yes. 9-0.
Yeah, he broke James Sheldon's record. Where he
Shout
went
out to Coach
8-1.
Sheldon.
Yeah, he went 8-1
Big
and
shout
1
out to Coach Sheldon.
and he went 0-1-1 in conference. Did not get a conference win that year.
It's okay, he tried.
Yeah, twice. We tried twice and it didn't get it done. Yeah.
And then obviously, as the number one Juju Lewis podcast, not only in the nation, but in the world, we are obligated to put the spotlight on Julian Lewis. Julian Lewis led Carleton this week to a huge, huge victory, 49-28 over Douglas County. I have no idea what round of the playoffs they're in or what they're doing, but they're up to number six, and obviously Juju's doing his thing. I'm not gonna sit here and tell you I've been like watching kind of like his recruitment in the last couple of weeks like a hawk. I really haven't seen much. I don't know if you've seen anything, but based on the way USC's played, I mean, does it make it more likely he's gonna go there, less likely he's gonna go there? Like, could it be swung like, oh, there's an opportunity for him to play immediately now, so now he might be more locked in? Or is it like they're playing like shit and Lincoln Riley might get fired and all of a sudden he just might not have a, like, obviously he's gonna have a place to go in Indiana, but I mean, like, that just might not be an option anymore because that coach might get fired.
Yeah, I was talking to some Trojans back home. First off, with Juju Lewis, playoffs should be starting next week because that's when California starts next week. So I imagine they start the same weeks, I imagine. Anyways, I don't think Lincoln Riley's getting fired, but them being 4-5, I think looks really good for us.
Yeah. It also looks good for the Big Ten.
He doesn't owe USC anything.
No, he committed to Lincoln.
Or he doesn't owe Lincoln anything. Well, what does he owe Lincoln Riley?
No, he doesn't owe him anything, but he committed to him, is what I'm saying. Is like, he committed to playing for Lincoln Riley at USC, and if Lincoln Riley is no longer at USC, there's no agreement anymore.
I think he could decommit without Lincoln Riley getting fired, is kind of where I'm getting at. So
I'm not ruling it out. I'm just saying it'd make it obviously way more likely. But yeah, Juju's doing big things, obviously, as five stars do. Let's talk about this game, Brad. Because the Hoosiers faced adversity for the first time. Well, I don't want to say the first time they faced adversity all season, but they went down 10-0. Rourke looked a little shaky. People were definitely getting nervous. A little bit of daunt came out in the Hoosier faithful on Twitter. I'm not going to lie. I was looking. I have to be honest. I wasn't that nervous.
They just need to wake up. It wasn't like the 2-3 and outs to start the game. Not great. They had the Miles Cross drop. Jameson's was a little delayed, so I actually didn't see that first drive. But I know they went 3-and-out on 3rd-and-1, which is pretty disappointing, the fact that we didn't go for it. I guess it's the first quarter. You know, you don't need to at that point. But, yeah, it went down 10-0 and then proceeded to score 47 unanswered points on the road against a rival. Doesn't matter how you slice that.
That's and quick, too, team. Bro. It happened quick. And in dominant fashion, like, all of a sudden, because, like, Michigan State came down the field, and, like, Childs looked great. He looked great early on. He was dotting up. Nick Marsh looked incredible. Like, but also, that's kind of what Michigan State needed to do to stay in that game. They needed to be perfect. Like, he was hitting absurd windows in the sideline. Like, some of those catches Marsh was making were just like, oh.
He's ridiculous. Yeah, he's the future of that program. I'd be surprised if he ends up transferring. We were talking about that.
No, I'd be surprised. I know that was a joke. Michigan
State, first year Jonathan Smith. They're making progress over there. They're doing a lot better than what people expected them to be this year. And I was seeing some Michigan State fans, you know, complaining, like, I didn't sign up to lose 47-10 to Indiana. And then some real, you know, some actual Michigan State fan who knows ball says, well, Indiana's beaten everyone 47-10 this year. So it's really not that bad.
But this, to put it in perspective, this is another white boy Rick tweet. He said, pretty much the worst start you could ask for. Good Aiden Childs showed up today. Can't get off the field on third down. Offense has no rhythm whatsoever. And they won by fucking 40.
37.
You know what I'm saying? Like, this team is just ridiculous. The defense, first of all, the whole defense, utterly insane. I want to get the full stats. So I'll do it when you kind of go on a little tangent here. But Mikhail Kamara, the leading sack man in the Big Ten, he's been phenomenal. These sack numbers, Brad, 7 sacks, 15 tackles for loss. That's from Alec Leslie. Leslie.
The season or Big Ten?
In that game.
Oh, from the team, yeah.
Yes. Team,
crazy. Yeah, I'm giving Mikhail Kamara my first helmet sticker. 2.5
sacks. 100%, bro.
4.5 tackles for loss. Like, it's time to start. I think I tweeted this out. Time to start talking about him as an All-American.
Yeah.
And I think I tweeted that out, and then he proceeded to have 1.5 more sacks during the game.
He was all over the place, dude. He was everywhere. But the whole defensive line played really well. The defense clamped. Like, the yards per quarter was like 150, 40, like 20-something, and zero. Michigan State did, like, nothing after the first quarter. Absolutely nothing. Amari Farrell, I'd give another helmet sticker to. He was phenomenal. 2 picks on the day. The diving one was absurd. Sean Asbury, I thought, was incredible. Terry Jones has been getting on the field a lot. Roe Hardy's worked his way into the lineup. Pons blocked a punt after what he did last week. We were on pump block, blocked a punt.
For safety, I love that. I love that so much.
And Aiden Fisher and Jalen Walker were just everywhere again, too. The two leading tacklers on this team. And, like, everybody played at a high level. Surratt looked great. Omar Cooper's touchdown was ridiculous.
I thought we were talking about the defense.
They're just good at football, man. I'm so excited to talk about this football team, Brad. It's well, like, oh, my God.
Let's break this down a little bit more. Like, Mangum Ferrar is getting a little more
rotation. Yeah, he got some tick,
with Carr, you know, they're kind of swapping out. He had a sack and a tackle for loss. Isaiah Jones had a half a sack and a tackle for loss. Fisher had a half a tackle for loss. Obviously went through Kamara's stat line. Pons had a half tackle for loss. Elijah Hardy, zero-star recruit, getting tick with a 9-0 football team. Two tackles for loss. James Carpenter had a sack, 1.5 tackles for loss. C.J. West had a sack and a tackle for loss. Tyreek Tucker had a half sack and a half tackle for loss. Absolute dominant display from the boys, from the D-line, the front seven. And DBs continue to get better, making, you know, getting a lot of turnovers. They had 3 picks last week. They get 2 this week. Starting a trend that's starting to heat up. You know, they're starting to get takeaways, which is something I've been asking for throughout the year, as I
continue coming.
As I continue to nitpick the defense.
You want to talk about answering the bell, the defense. Like, there was some not so quiet criticism of that unit very specifically, for whatever reason. And they have responded by allowing 17 total points in 2 games.
Well, I think giving up 20 points to Northwestern and Maryland at this point was justified to get some sort of criticism. At this point, if we want to hold those high standards and not have self-imposed limitations, those are the types of critiques that we should be making. However, since the bye, they have given up 7 points to Nebraska, 17 points to Washington, and 10 points to Michigan State.
Oh, yeah, I forgot.
All 3 of those teams are better than Maryland and Northwestern. So they've clearly have gotten better as the year's gone on. And with Farrell getting most tick at safety and then having Terry Jones play the rover. You know, that was a tweet they made over the bye. High correlation there. They're figuring things out. Shout out Brian Haynes. I know he's a listener of the pod.
Yeah, they're flying around, dude. And they're fun to watch. And they hit and they don't give up big plays. And they're well coached. And, like, Mikal Kamara is like, yeah, we still have a lot we need to get better at, which is scary for teams that still have to play us. That was his quote the other day.
Every film session has stuff that you can clean up, which is scary because they're playing so flawlessly right now, which means, like, they're actually trending Big Ten champion, like, deep run in the playoff, Final Four. I've seen some playoff brackets out there today, like, kind of just doing the bracketology, like, yeah, give me Tennessee and Miami in the playoff. We'll make that Final Four.
Yeah, the goalposts have moved. Like, it's no longer like, all right, let's be ranked. It's no longer like, all right, let's be in the top 15. It's no longer like, all right, let's be in the top 10. It's like, no, let's go push for that bye.
Like, it's like, no, let's get a bye, maybe win the Big Ten. If not, like, make a deep push in the playoff.
Let's go win the damn Big Ten.
If we lose a close game in the Big Ten championship to Oregon, like, I can live with that. I still think we'll be able to make a deep run in the playoffs.
Yeah, I'm as confident in this football team as you could possibly be. Like, the way the offensive line operates, the way our guards specifically get out in space and, like, how athletic they are at their size is ridiculous. Like, our run game is absurd. The backs are great. Rourke, like, we got to talk about Rourke for a second because the Heisman campaign didn't skip a beat. It's like the dude didn't even – like, I know he started off a little rusty, but once he settled into the game, it was like he'd been there the whole time. There's another very quiet 4-touchdown game, spread the ball around. Omar Cooper, like I said before, was making crazy plays. Surratt, obviously, Waffle House, always open. Key Williams was doing his thing. Miles Price probably should have scored. I think he did score. Didn't he score
Price
late?
Price scored late. He scored in that wheel route.
Yeah. Play design, Shanahan was in his bag again. Like, this is just, they're a really good team that can beat you in a lot of different ways. And especially, not that Taven was bad back there, they still beat a good Washington team by 2 touchdowns, but, like, it's just the offense operates with a different crispness when Rourke's back there, and it, like, yeah, man, they're I don't know what other way to say this other than the fact that's a good football team, and I haven't seen 8 teams better than them this year.
I haven't. We'll see this weekend. This is going to be the toughest team we've faced so far, 100%. And they're not even that good. We're 11-point favorites.
No, I saw. I think it's higher than that. I saw it closer to 13.
It might be at 14 at this point because people are definitely hammering the Hoosiers because they've covered every spread this year. They're 9-0 straight up, 9-0 against the spread, which is, you could argue, not more impressive, but just as impressive.
It's pretty damn impressive.
Covering every game is very hard to do. Most teams are, you know, the best teams against the spread are typically like 8-4, 9-3 if you go crazy, because, you know, the lines adjust.
Well, yeah, because Vegas's job is to make you be at 500 against the spread, so they win. You know.
So being 9-0 against the spread against Vegas.
Yeah, Vegas is pissed.
Vegas is mad. We're free money. I think who called this free money? Scott Van Pelt called this free money. Brandon Walker from Barstool admitted that Indiana is a complete team. It's not like they're, you know, oh, they have this thing that's good, this, that thing's good. Like, it's all good. Like, it's all clicking. It's all at an elite level. The special things are brewing. And we've known this for about a month now, but it's good to see, you know, the train keeps rolling.
Well, yeah, it's like,
marches on.
It's funny. It's like a month ago, I was getting more excited about people being like, you need to pay attention to this Indiana football team. And now it's like almost more annoying. It's like, no, you should have been paying attention to this Indiana football team. And anybody who's not now is full blown late. Yeah. Like on time, like early is on time is late, and late is where have you been?
If you weren't paying attention after that UCLA game, I think I question your ball knowledge. Obviously, you can look at UCLA as like a struggling team, but to do that on the road, 30 point, like that's when the buzz should have really been starting. That's when I knew this was a special team.
Well, I knew it was a special team when I saw they were up 24 early and he was pissed off. And then like when they go and they just boat, like not even like there's beating somebody bad and then there's kicking the crap out of them, and like 77-3 is serious. They were chasing something. That was a statement. And I like when people make statements like that. Like he made a statement like, we're a good football team and we're gonna execute at a high level. I don't give a shit who's on the field. It's like Tom Allen would have won that game by 40, took his ball and went home. And it's like, yeah, we were, like cool, 40-point win for the Hoosiers, go team. But it's like, no. This is a serious football team. Yeah, and then to your point, to travel across the country, say F all that travel bullshit, and go beat the dog shit out of a team in LA. Yeah, like if that didn't turn your head, then I don't know what sport you're watching. It's clearly not football.
Exactly. And I want to throw out a few more helmet stickers. Radicic.
Yeah.
Broke the single season record for extra points. He hasn't missed a kick this year. I want to give him a helmet sticker, long overdue. Obviously, he hasn't had too much trouble in terms of he's always in great range when it comes to the field goal attempts and things like that. We'd love going for it on fourth. But James Evans played also fantastic. He had a great punt early on when we were, kind of slugging it out early in the first quarter, not really getting things going. James Evans was able to pin them deep on that second three and out. And, yeah, resulted in a stop, and that's when the wheels kind of fell off for Michigan State. So I'm going to give helmet stickers to both those guys.
Special teams unit. Shout out to Grant Kane.
Yeah, and I'm giving a special helmet sticker to Pons for that punt block, making a play on special teams.
Shout out to special teams.
Special teams, special players.
Yeah, I'm giving my helmet sticker to Rourke. Helmet sticker to Horton. Scored a touchdown this week. Gets rewarded for doing the dirty work he always does. Yeah. Did I say Rourke? If not, Rourke.
I mean, it says a lot when you have your best players playing special teams. Like, it's a good strategy.
Yeah, Sig alluded to that in his press conference. He said he was there for a reason. They knew he could probably, because of how athletic he is, be a weapon at that spot. They don't typically call that punt block. They don't use it a lot. They felt like it was a good spot for it, and he went out there and he made a play. I like the fact that this staff specifically puts guys in the right position. It's like, it's not that D'Angelo Pons is playing special teams like just like aimlessly. Like, he's there for a reason. It's like, no, he's not just like running down the field blocking a guard. Like, no, he's there to go attack the football. So it's like, there's a purpose for everything they do. And it, like, obviously it shows. Like, they're well coached, they're a well oiled machine, fast physical, relentless, like smart, disciplined, poised, whatever the 6 seconds of play, everything is a life, whatever that Sig quote is. Like, they live by that shit. They really do. It's like a samurai way of life. Like, live by the sword, die by the sword type shit. Like, these dudes are in it. And it shows. It's fucking fun to watch, man. It's really, really fun to watch. Like, I sit in my car. Like, So I work on Saturdays, so like I'm watching the game on my phone. I'm catching the replays. Obviously, I have Big Ten Plus. Shout out to Oregon. The only good thing Oregon's ever done is give free Big Ten Plus to people. So I watch the recaps. But I sit in my car and I'm just like screaming like a madman. Like people must think I'm insane. But it's like I get this team gets me so excited.
I'm giving another helmet sticker to Curtis Rourke. 4 touchdowns on the hurt hand. Thank you for gutting it out. We mentioned that for a Heisman campaign, you can't miss 2 games. He only missed 1, so the Heisman, he can make it to New York at this point. It's going to be tough being out Gentry. Well, Gentry's slowing down. There's Cam Ward. There's Travis Hunter. We'll see. We got to check
Travis Hunter. Listen, what Travis Hunter does is impressive, but like, I don't know. I feel like you need
Miles Jack. You need to be super
special. You have to be so special as a two-way player. It's not just like, cool, you play 2 ways. Yeah, that's awesome and very valuable. But like, he's not even the best player on his own team.
Yeah, he is.
You think he's better than Shadur?
Yeah, I do. I want my Jags to draft him.
I think if you were going to remove one of them from the team and replace them with an average level backup, I think you'd have more success if you replace Travis Hunter than if you replace Shadur. I don't think that's a slight to Shadur. I think they're both, or a slight to Travis Hunter. I think they're both top 5 picks.
I agree. I think Miles Jack back at UCLA was more impressive playing 2 ways, and he got 0 Heisman buzz. So
I don't know. He's playing running back and linebacker, I guess. He wasn't playing the amount of plays on offense, though, that Travis is playing. Like, it's impressive what he's doing. But I don't want to, like...
He put up 10 touchdowns. you know what I mean? Like,
It's impressive what he's doing. Like, he deserves to be in the Heisman conversation, but, like, Rourke is, like, leading the nation in passing, and he missed a game. So it's like, are you going to tell me that's more valuable than what Rourke's doing? Like, no. It can't be.
Right now, the finalists should be Dylan Gabriel, Rourke, Cam Ward, Hunter, and Gentry.
Is it 5? I thought it was 4.
It varies each year.
Yeah. It's good stuff. It's good stuff. The Hoosiers are... It's fun having a good football team. Like, it's never... Like, I don't even know what to do with myself. Like, we just, like, go into Saturdays and we just kick the shit out of people. Like, this is awesome.
What you do is you go to Jameson's Culver City and drink 2 bottles of champagne before halftime. That's what you do.
Oh, that's so good. Yeah, they're legit. They're legit. And they're going to push for a playoff spot. And, yeah, man. So, Michigan next week on CBS. That's going to be we'll have a full-blown preview for that later in the week. You can follow Sigs Inside, Indiana Football Podcast, on Twitter at Sigs Inside Pod. You can follow Brad at Bradley_Loomis8. You can follow me at Alec Keezer. Check out KeysportsNetwork.com. And by the time you listen to this, depending on when you listen to this, I'll have some news that will have dropped. So that's very exciting. Some exciting stuff coming. So shout out to the boys, Wave, Nick Skrill, Signar. Check out Friends and Collaborators Instrumental Volume 1 on streaming platforms now. The intro song, 1621. The outro song, The Sweet Sound of Butter Symphony. Sigs Inside, an Indiana Football Podcast. We'll see you guys later this week. Beat Michigan.